This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Well, Cory Booker grandstands again in his race to gain some sort of relevance in the presidential race. And it turns out, as we're all looking at the news of the day, that yes, you are being spied on. Being spied on by big tech. No surprise, right? Welcome to the show. Glad you are here. The Cioli Show on Twitter at Rich Cioli. Facebook.com/Cioli Show. Big tech is listening. Amazon and Google listening to your conversations. Reports have come out that full-time contract workers for Amazon in the U.S., Costa Rica, and Romania have been listening to thousands of audio clips, some of them lasting up to 9 hours. In response to these reports, Amazon confirmed to CNN Business that they do, in fact, hire employees to listen to what customers say to Alexa. Sorry. On July 10th, Deutsche News outlet VRT reported that Google also keeps tabs on our conversations, using independent contractors to listen and to transcribe the audio recordings it picks up from its new audio-based web surfer, Google Assistant. Google claims it listens to improve the technology. A company spokesperson told Business Insider it uses 0.2% of audio snippets that Google collected to improve Google Assistant of understanding accents. Those clips are supposedly completely anonymous. Every day becomes more evident that they are listening to our data. Now, this is one of those things that I always mention here, is that we should be very mindful of the fact that there is this effort by big tech to package us up and sell us and to sell our data and everything else. I also think that the kind of the genie's out of the bottle on this one. I don't know how to put it back in. I really don't. I really don't. But I also know that... we have some breaking traffic news. What's now, Dawn? What is this now?
Is this the I-295?
The one you just texted me? Yeah. This ongoing right now?
I texted.
Tractor trailer hangs off I-295 in South Jersey. Okay, so it's causing a lot of crap, big accident there?
It's been going on, so it's a mess.
Big mess there.
I didn't read it now.
I thought it was
I was sending it to Dawn so if she wanted to use it for her news at 8.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was like a breaking traffic event.
No, it's the I-295 overpass. So
well, that's important to people if they're about to leave. Don't
over.
Go by 295 overpass. There's a big truck hanging over. Well, we want to help people.
No,
right?
that's why I texted it to you. I'm constantly monitoring Twitter.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Breaking
that's good.
News.
Constantly monitoring Twitter and all the morning shows for us so we can have all the sounds of the day. It's very important to do.
So it's I-295 North.
I-295
North. It's a mess. Avoid it. They're still trying to clear it.
Thank you. See, we want to help. We want to be a help.
That's right.
If you're listening on radio.com, for example, on the app, you can, if you're using Waze, you can click on the app and listen right on radio.com right there. We're also going to unveil a new feature soon where you're going to be able to text message the show.
We are.
And that's going to be really cool. So you'll be able to send us a text, and we might read your text on the air.
That'd be cool. You're doing Waze, then do the boy band voice. It's hysterical.
They have that boy band voice? Really?
Like, avoid 295. It's like hysterical. You got to try.
Yeah, I'll get right on that, Dawn, right after the show today.
It's
change
funny.
That. All right, I will do that. Do they have a Nancy Pelosi voice?
Oh.
Turn left. Left. Hard left. Go left. Not that left. Not too left.
Should definitely do a Bernie.
That would be good, right?
Yeah.
Bernie would be good. I don't know if Bernie... Imagine Bernie on Waze. I'm rerouting. I'm getting sick of this. This broad can't drive. Rerouting again. Listen, you 1%er. Pay attention. Stop texting and driving. What are you making more of your stock purchases? With Wall Street, this broad can't drive. I've always said women can't drive. Long said it. Rerouting again. Rerouting. We're going back to Russia? Rerouting.
Russia.
855-39-1210. So Cory Booker is a grandstander, as you know, Spartacus. Count Grandstandulus, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage band. He's out there again today. Calling the president, of course, a dictator. Again, the president has not shown his willingness to subvert the Constitution. The president is adhering to the courts and not putting the citizenship question on the census. Of course, instead of the media saying the president is showing deference to the courts, They are saying something else, like the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos.
Oh, yes.
Who started today on Good Morning America, as I predicted he would, not by saying the president is respecting the separation of powers, the president of the United States respecting the ruling of the Supreme Court, the president showing deference to the Constitution. But this.
We also saw a major retreat yesterday from President Trump on his bid to get a citizenship question added to the census. He's giving up on that.
Yeah, George, after vowing for weeks to fight for this in court, the president has now backed down, saying there will not be a question on citizenship in the 2020 census.
So all day yesterday, the warning was dictator, dictator, dictator. Now it's back down, retreat, surrender.
We also saw a major retreat yesterday from President Trump.
Exactly like I predicted. I opened the show with this prediction today, by the way. And that was at 7:07 in the morning that he did that. But I was predicting that from 5:30 on.
Yep.
This is yesterday, Count Grandstangela, Spartacus Booker, the senator who had, of course, don't forget his famous moment here.
I had tears of rage.
Yeah,
and then the closest I'll probably ever have in my life to an I am Spartacus moment.
Yeah, right now you have a big moment here. Cut eight.
Look, you know that I'm on the Judiciary Committee, and we just got last week, and I went down and read some of the unredacted reports, but then I went back and reread it in sections in total. I really hope that Americans go and read this report. It is, as it stands, even with the redactions, it is a deep implication. Mueller clearly says there are about 10 things that point to misconduct. Here's someone who has instructed people to lie, instructed people to change documents, had people on his campaign team cooperating with foreign adversaries. I mean, there is just so much there. And now he is, instead of acting like the leader of the free world, he's acting like an authoritarian leader by denying Congress what their constitutional duty is, which is to provide checks and balances to the administration, to provide administrative oversight. So this is one of those times I've said very clearly, I was not a quick person towards beginning impeachment proceedings, but seeing what I'm seeing right now, that Congress is being stymied by this president, and when there's real clear evidence, or anybody reads the plain black and white of the Mueller report, that there is clear evidence of misconduct there, this is unacceptable what's going on right now. The Congress should be able to continue its work, and it's a shame that we're now seeing this not only having to go into the courts, but potentially being stymied by a president that seems to be without remorse in his willingness to subvert the Constitution.
A hard-hitting follow-up from... That was Ari Melbourne, MSNBC, the hard-hitting follow-up. Gives Booker 90 uninterrupted seconds, and then, Well, you see, yesterday, willingness to subvert the Constitution, won't listen to the courts. Today, retreat, surrender.
But potentially being stymied by a president that seems to be without remorse in his willingness to subvert the Constitution.
We also saw a major retreat yesterday from President Trump on his bid to get a citizenship question added to the census. He's giving up on that.
Yeah, see, the guy can't freaking win. He cannot win. He cannot win. You know, I'm going to give him some advice. I, as much as I love the Constitution, I'm just going to tell him, just be the dictator already and end it. Because either way, they're going to give you grief.
It's true.
Whether you be a dictator or not, just be the dictator at this point. Why not? What the hell, man?
Oh my God.
Save us all a lot of trouble. He cannot catch a break. Oh, man. Patrick is in Gloucester County. Patrick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich. So first of all, I was a longtime afternoon listener. I listen to you on the podcast now, and I love it. It's a total gift.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, man. I get to listen to it on my time. No commercials. I get to hear the whole show. Good deal, man. Thank you very much.
Well, there are commercials, but thank you. But thank you, Patrick. Yes,
yeah,
but thank you, buddy.
Yeah,
yes,
I love it.
Yes, yes.
So did you catch this morning that Cory Booker was selected for jury duty and reported for jury duty? Did you catch that story yet?
I did. I saw that. Yeah. Is he going? Dude,
what a patriot. You know what I mean? Because I'm sure he was going to be selected, and he would have had to come off the campaign trail for weeks to, to sit on a jury.
Right, yes. Cal Grandstangela in the jury box. Exactly who you want there.
He would have cried through the whole trial.
Thanks, buddy. Great call.
Dude,
great
I love
weekend.
You, man.
You're Take the easy. Best. Thanks, Patrick. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Well, here's the good news. Cory Booker has rolled out his major initiative as president, and I think this is going to, he's going to win now. I'm going to go on record and at 7:40, write this down. Cory Booker will be the next president of the United States of America because of this initiative you rolled out. He went on some dumb sports show. What's it called?
It's some podcast.
Yeah. I do have to say the sports podcasts are better than the NPR podcasts. Yes. At least they're a little more energetic.
A little more.
You know, but
a little more.
But
not
this
a lot
is
more.
This is Cory Booker's big initiative. Ladies and gentlemen, take a listen.
Can I tell you a dream? And I'm running for president for every reason but this. But should I become president of the United States?
Okay.
And the stars of the universe line up, and my team is the Super Bowl champions that year.
It's the New Jersey Giants.
I am telling you right now, when they're in the White House, I will turn to the world and say, I won't be a slip of the tongue. I will say I am proud to be here with the New Jersey Giants.
God bless.
And at that point, I figure I will have swagger.
Yeah.
Secret Service.
Sure.
The nuclear codes.
Yeah.
Are they really going to step to me and correct me?
So, just a little joke about totalitarianism and blowing up the world. A little humor.
Waka waka.
Waka waka. I have nuclear codes and people with guns. Now, I want to ask a question, honestly. Who is he trying to play grandstand to here, Jersey or New York? I can't figure it out. Does he think he wouldn't win Jersey if he was the nominee?
Jersey.
He's the freaking senator from... My other point is this. How many times have we heard Trump joke about shooting people and using the nuclear codes on them? How many times have we heard that?
0.0.
Okay, imagine if he did, though.
Yeah.
Okay, what are they going to do? I got the nuclear codes and I got Secret Service agents. Try to stop me. Constitutional crisis unfolds. Dun, dun, dun. It would be all of that that would be going on. You know it as well as I do. There'd be the absolute freak out that'd be going on. Trump threatens World War III. But Cory Booker goes, what are they going to do? I have the nuclear codes and guys with guns behind me, huh? Everyone goes, funny joke about nuclear annihilation. Like an old nuclear annihilation joke. And armed federal agents killing people because they disagree with the president. Just a little joke about that, you know? Because that's never happened in history where leaders have actually killed people who disagree with them. So, totally free to make a joke about it because it's never actually happened where leaders didn't, you know, and then order people's deaths. So, have at it. Oh, man. Amazing.
By the way, we were wrong. It's not a sports podcast. It's by Brad Jenkins, who's a former White House aide.
Ah, Brad Jenkins, who thinks it's hysterical for the president, future president, to threaten with the nuclear codes and men with guns behind him. Oh, man. I just wish Trump would make a joke about destroying the world with nuclear weapons.
Can I tell you a dream? And I'm running for president for every reason but this.
Actually, stop for a second. What is a dream is you getting elected president, because that only would happen in your dreams. That's the dream. It's a nightmare for America. It would happen in your dreams, Corey, for the record. Okay? All right. 855-839-1210. Now, we also have the grandstanding on a number of other different things today, but Don Lemon has used one of my analogies with Nancy Pelosi, and it bothers me a little bit. I want to sue for this. Can I sue for this, Don? I think I can sue for this. I'll play this right after the news. I think I can sue. I should sue for this. I'm tired of people stealing my stuff. I'm tired of it. It happens all the freaking time.
It does.
Yeah, remember, okay, Marty's got a great point. Remember when the president said I could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue?
Yep.
Yes.
And they lost their minds over that? This is a guy who threatens to shoot people in the streets, remember? They lost their minds over that. Chris Matthews. I mean, this guy, he'll shoot you right in cold dead in New York City on the streets. Booker makes jokes about nuclear destruction, nuclear annihilation, and Secret Service agents shooting people.
And at that point, I figure I will have swagger.
Yeah.
Secret Service.
Sure.
The nuclear codes.
Yeah.
Are they really going to step to me and correct me?
I'm sorry, but nuclear annihilation is a little bit worse than shooting one person on Fifth Avenue. One person on Fifth Avenue or billions of destruction in a nuclear war.
Oh, God.
That's just me. All right. I would say I'd be happier with the president just shooting one guy on Fifth Avenue than launching nuclear weapons because the Giants don't like the fact that he's calling them New Jersey. Of course, if they would have just taken Trump's joke as a joke, I wouldn't be making a big deal out of this, but they made a big deal out of it. So now I'm making a big deal out of it. Got it? Because that's how it's got to work. 855-839-1210.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
How about a little What was I going to say? Oh, I was going to play this after the news. Don Lemon, steal him. Uh-oh, what happened? Are we all right in there?
Oh, yeah. Good God.
Premature promo.
Greg had multiple firings today, yeah, Don, of the promos.
See?
Good for you, Greg.
What is happening?
I don't know. What? Should we call the program director? Oh, right. It's you today. So should we call you? God, you've changed. Now, I'm so tired, Don, of people stealing my stuff. Don Lemon, talking to a Democrat strategist about the vampiric one. And how many years have I been calling her a vampire? How many years?
Four or five years,
right?
Yes.
I've been making jokes about her drinking virgin blood. I've been making jokes about her doing all these things. And there's a reason for it. What's that?
Funny every time I
hear
it.
Every time.
We're not doing a wall. Does anybody have any doubt that we're not?
And then her daughter, right?
She'll cut your head off and you won't even know you're bleeding.
Right. Exactly. Right. She is an eternal creature of the night. I show her respect. She's the Speaker of the House, which I call her the vampiric one. There's only one, and it's her. But now, The Onion stole my bit about Nancy Pelosi getting blood transfusions from virgins. I should have sued them. I may sue Don Lemon for this. Cut 12.
It's not about marginalizing anybody's voice. The lesson to be learned there is that you can't win with a minority. You cannot win with a minority. That is the lesson for Democrats. You cannot win by eating your own. And maybe at this point, you don't...
What?
What is happening?
Why? Tired of this. Every day somebody steals something, Dawn. Every day. We got to copyright all these things,
I know, right?
And just go to court and sue the hell out of everybody.
Do like a Zioli dictionary and then copyright the whole thing.
You cannot win by eating your own.
I love it, Dawn. A Zioli dictionary and we just copyright the whole thing.
Yeah, that you copyright it. Not the overlords.
Now, since it's Friday night, what are you doing tonight?
I don't know. Maybe a movie.
Yeah, which one you're gonna see?
No.
So I'm going to one of Steve Trevelise's comedy clubs tonight.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's a big night. Big night. They have some great entertainers tonight. I was talking to Trev. Really excited for this. It's a combo night tonight. They're doing comedian Eric Swalwell, who dropped out in the race for president. We have a beatnik poet named Nancy.
Stop.
And wow. we also have a singer, a folk singer.
Oh.
We have a little preview of this open mic night tonight at Trev's Comedy Club. Go ahead.
I think it's so appropriate that you gave us all the same T-shirt because I believe our candidates are a part of the Avengers.
Yeah.
Welcome to my fellow candidates, whom I consider we are all a part of being the Avengers.
Yeah.
We're here to save America. The Republicans, that's the Hunger Games. Hey, guys. So I'm running about 3 more miles. I will be bold without the bowl.
Eric Swalwell.
I'm a congressman, but also a father of a 2-year-old and an infant. When I'm not changing diapers, I'm changing Washington. Most of the time, the diapers smell better.
Hysterical. That's his big one that he's known for. That's his big. He drops that. The crowd loses it every time.
The encore.
He kills. He kills with that. And then, of course, the beatnik poet, Nancy Pelosi. She questions this riff. She goes up there. She's got a beret on, a black beret, lights a cigarette, and she's got a little like jazzy band behind her, and she just kind of riffs. You know, she talks to the crowd. She riffs, and she just take it away.
Who are we? What is America? We celebrate America on the 4th of July. What is America? America is our Constitution. Separation of powers, a co-equal branches of government, the freedoms and the, including freedom of the press, the guardian of our democracy. In the Bill of Rights, who is America? America is our Constitution. What is America? It is this beautiful land that God gave us from sea to shining sea and beyond. What is America? America is our people.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it's so cool, and the audience gets into it, and you can just feel the angst, and they order coffee, and she's up there smoking. So cool. Yeah. It's just fun, the beatnik poetry. And then to cap the night, of course, we have music, because what would be a variety show
of course.
Without music? Yeah. And for this, we bring in presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. The crowd joins him. It's a beautiful moment. The The buildup is so nice, too, right? The buildup.
As I went walking that ribbon of highway,
it's the worst open mic night ever.
That endless skyway.
Can you imagine paying for this?
I saw below me
tonight at Parks Casino.
That golden valley.
Beatnik Nancy Pelosi. Folk
this
singer.
Land was made for you and me.
Bernard Sanders.
This land is yours.
And comedian and failed presidential candidate Eric Swalwell. Tickets are only $4. And they include a free meal, a hotel room, free education, free college, free health care, free everything. I can't wait to go to that show.
Wow.
That is going to be a great show.
It's
tonight.
Amazing.
I'm so excited for
How
that tonight.
How did they get all three on the bill like that?
One night.
I know.
One night. They one had to push only. Dennis Miller off the stage because they just didn't have room for him. They didn't have room.
Oh, man.
Couldn't make it happen.
What a clown
Unbelievable. That's literally... Three people. We didn't even have to edit that, except we added the cool music for the beatnik poetry. Dan it. Who is America? Who is? What is? Who is? Who is? Ah, who is? Dan it. I love that. It's so great. 855-839-1210 is the number. I think you know by now that the hysteria that goes on is so much manufactured by the media. I try to set it all straight for you so that you know the truth. But if you wake up today and you read the Inquirer, the front page, Trump backs down on the immigration question. Instead of fighting to add a question to the census, he says he'll order agencies to document citizens and non-citizens, which I truly believe is what he should do. He should show the respect the judiciary is entitled, which is also why they're going to be enforcing court order deportations. Because when the courts order something, guess who executes that? Right, the executive branch. I know it's very complicated. I know, but that's what's happening. All right, that's what's happening. 855-839-1210. You know what would be good to do? I think this would be good to do as well. I really do. Since we're talking about folk singer Bernie Sanders, he was on with the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. And I think the question that he wants to know is whether or not Bernie has the fire in his belly.
Well, you're running now for president for the second time. It's tight competition now among the Democrats. One of the things we're hearing from voters is they know you've got plans. They know you got passion. They want to know more about you as a person. Do you kind of accept that critique? And what do you do about it?
Well, I think two things. I think, of course, people have a right to know about who you are as a person. And your family and your life. I think sometimes the media goes overboard on that and does not pay enough attention to what you are trying to do to transform the country. You know, so the issues that I talk about are health care for all people. You know, you may like me or you may not like me, but the truth of the matter is every American is entitled to health care as a human right.
Whether they like him or not.
What kind of question is that?
Just whether they like you or not. John is in Lansdale. John, good morning.
Morning, Rich. How you doing?
Good.
I was listening to that ensemble, and I was sitting in the truck like crying. I was laughing so hard. But the only thing I have to add to that is that everyone has to snap their fingers at the end of that instead of clapping.
Oh, right.
Both beatniks used to do that.
That's right. You snap a lot with the beatniks, right?
Yeah, you have to snap your fingers, man. Snap your fingers. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Take John. Care. Appreciate it. By the way, the president yesterday had a big media summit, a social media summit at the White House, and he heard from people, for example, like Lila Rose, who's a big pro-life leader in the community, Live Action, about how social media sites censor pro-life content. He heard from James O'Keefe, of course, the filmmaker with his Project Veritas, who is censored all the time. A number of people got to go and speak, including our buddy Michael Pelka, who was there, by the way, who was at the White House summit on social media. President heard a lot of different ideas from people firsthand on how these companies, how they do, in fact, censor people and they limit free speech. And then, of course, he's now inviting the companies to come back and talk about free speech and how they can keep speech free, which is important. But having conservative groups to the White House to let the president know firsthand that, yes, in fact, it's true. It's not an exaggeration. But yes, they do censor. They do limit speech. They do these things is very important that he heard from those people. Very important to do. Dan Crenshaw, the congressman with the patch, cool guy, former SEAL. He was there as well speaking about conservative censorship at big tech, by big tech. It's an ongoing thing. It's obvious. It's one of those situations that's not going to be going away unless more people speak out about it. I don't think there's a government solution, but I think that the more pressure that's put on them by people, the more that hopefully they'll acquiesce and stop breaking people and stop limiting speech. I think it's very important to do. 855-839-1210 is the number. And, you know, for a lot of us who are on social media, and again, I'm on Twitter at Rich Zeoli, Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. These are communities where we engage with people and we talk with people and we have great conversations. It is where things are. You should not have to be put up. You shouldn't have to tolerate your opinions being censored. And I don't want the answer to be government intervention because it never works out for us. And my meaning conservatives, it just never does. But by putting the pressure on these companies and by highlighting what's happening, you're not keeping the censorship in the dark anymore. And you see, and that's the big thing, right? Is you're no longer keeping the censorship in the dark. And when you get these things out in the light, I think it's very important to do that. That's how you can start the process of making change. Absolutely. You know, one of the things, for example, is Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one, is very upset that they made a doctored video of her, even though people make doctored videos of the president all the time, for example, but she was very upset by that. So she's very upset by a number of things, including the fact that the president is now threatening families while apparently while they go to church. And Nancy Pelosi has not stepped in a church in centuries.
It's true.
Do you know what would happen if she walked into a church?
Stop.
Let's do this.
That's a sin.
No, she'd walk in
she's
and go,
a Catholic grandmother.
Let's do this. Once and for all. Motto e motto. That's what she'd do. I'm telling you, Dawn.
Let's do this.
That epic battle. That epic battle we've been hearing about in all those John Carpenter movies. Come on down here. Me and you. Finally. But certainly, but she always pretends that she's very, very concerned about the church-going habits of people. Cut 4B.
It's about values that the president does not seem to share. And we saw this morning when he announced his heartless raids on families this coming Sunday. When he announced
what the
this
hell
before,
was that?
I called
wait. What?
God bless you.
What was that? Was that a sneeze?
Yes. 100%.
Yes. That was obnoxious. You know, but the thing is that she's reading, so she's not being spontaneous, so she can't even react to it. And she certainly can't say, God bless you. She can't invoke his name.
No.
That would be very problematic. Oh, man.
That sounds like a wet one.
Really?
Get that,
like, ooh,
get that guy
a tissue.
Right. Oh, get that guy a medic.
Oh.
By the way, if that had happened at the White House, Trump would have stopped it and said,
get out.
Get out. Get out. As he should have done. All right, let's try that again.
When you announced this before, I called, God bless you, some people
no,
of faith.
She did say
wow.
About this. Evangelicals who support the president for other reasons, but who have been good on immigration issues, but usually. And basically, they were very concerned that this goes too far because these raids were not what they signed up for with President Trump. And I think their calls to the president made a difference. Basically, what they said to me is, on Sunday, this is the Hispanic evangelicals, on Sunday, west of the Mississippi, our people are in church. And as they prepare to go to church, they feel very threatened and scared by these raids. So hopefully the president will think again about it, or these groups will weigh in once again.
Well, you know, what I think is great here is that she knows exactly when and where people go to church. Now, think about that for a second. I think it's a little creepy, personally. She knows exactly where they are. I have to wait till they get out. I can't go in there. But I know where they are. The sunrise mass. It's my favorite time of the morning. 855-839-1210. It's a sin, Dawn. It's a sin.
It's a sin.
She's a Catholic grandmother. She's, by the way, she's not a racist, according to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I'll share that with you a little bit later in the show. She's not, so there you go.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Well, good morning. It is 8:02 on a beautiful Philadelphia morning. Friday, baby.
Friday. Good
Friday.
Morning.
Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. It's 8:02, 74 degrees. The sun is going to burn off these clouds. It's going to be a beautiful day. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD with news brought to you by the New Jersey Blueberry Council. So not a beautiful day or beautiful weather, obviously, in Louisiana, where the president has made a declaration of emergencies there. They're bracing for a hurricane to hit, a tropical storm, Barry. Other national headlines, the U.S. reportedly close to reaching a what's called a safe third country agreement with Guatemala. So migrants who pass through the Central American nation would apply for asylum there rather than making the dangerous trek to the U.S. border. So the U.S. would offer protection to those seeking asylum. And that brings us to these ICE raids that we're hearing about in the headlines ordered across the nation. They are set for this weekend, even though Philadelphia is not on that list of 10 cities with court-ordered removal where immigration raids are to take place this weekend. City leaders are saying this is a sanctuary city and there are contingency plans in place in Philadelphia to help those undocumented immigrants stay in our region. So expect street closures today in Philadelphia. Thousands of demonstrators apparently plan to rally across Philadelphia, across the region, and they say around the world to protest these court-ordered ICE raids. Let's talk about something going viral right now. A Florida mom recorded her daughter licking a tongue depressor in the doctor's office. Yeah, the mom is now charged with a felony.
Wait. The mom recorded this video?
Yes.
That's disgusting. So and then she put it back?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's her 10-year-old daughter and the 30-year-old mom, Corey Ward. She is seen, the girl seen taking the tongue depressor from the jar at the doctor's office, and then she licks it and puts it back into, you know, the glass jar.
Yeah.
And even on the video, it's the big sign, please do not touch medical supplies.
That's disgusting. Why would a mom help with that? I don't understand. That's crazy to me that she would let her kid do that and then viral video
it. It's not funny.
People are just desperate for attention, I think.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Sometimes you sit in the waiting room at the pediatrician's office, then you go in the office and you wait some more. So what you do is you take one of the gloves and you can blow it up and like a chicken.
That's funny.
And that's how you can entertain your kid.
Right, don't put it back.
But don't put it back. Just put it in your pocketbook.
Exactly.
So speaking of circus tricks, there's a circus dog that vanished during that this is a follow-up. Circus dog vanished during the 4th of July performance in Delaware. Well, yeah, he's been found safe and returned to its circus owners. So police say 3-year-old Pierre was found near the Smyrna Park where he disappeared. And police are saying it's unclear if Pierre was dognapped. Now, he's like a high-diving dog. I think maybe he was trying to escape the circus.
That's very possible.
But the Zabrini Family Circus says no, he was dognapped.
Dognapped?
Yeah, he was dognapped.
Well, you gotta put a homing device on your dog, like the LoJack on your pets.
A Georgia mom tried to order a Moana-themed cake for her daughter's birthday. Instead of a cake adorned with the popular Disney character, the local Dairy Queen actually made her a pot-themed dessert, thinking she said marijuana. So it actually had a My Little Pony smoking a joint.
Honestly, that's how my daughter Claire would say it, 2.5 years old. Moana, marijuana. That would sound like marijuana. Absolutely. And Moana's her favorite movie, so she would say that.
And speaking of marijuana and munchies and food, there's market research from Nielsen just released that shows the snack industry is benefiting big time from the rise of legal weed. So researchers are saying Nielsen data shows sales of salty snacks reached $29.9 billion, sweet snacks hitting sales of $6.5 billion. So some of them are Totino's pizza roll, not just Doritos, and Girl Scout cookies. The Girl Scouts are capitalizing on this big time.
So now I think
popcorn,
probably Big Snack, right? They're the ones
benefiting behind
the legalization of weed.
Yes.
Because we now have data to prove that they're benefiting. So Big Snack is behind legalized weed. I've always known this. Now we have definitive proof.
We do. This day in history, 1984, Geraldine Ferraro named vice presidential candidate. That was 84. Mondale was the president.
How'd that work out for them?
Presidential candidate. Yeah, not so well.
So good, huh?
The landslide.
That was, and let me think of what else. The Medal of Honor was created in 1862.
Oh, wait, speaking of snacks, we got hot crab fries coming in, so let's speed it up here, shall we?
Okay, let's go. Rich has got the munchies, clearly.
I got the munchies from all my pain pills.
This day in history, blah. Let's go.
Who cares?
Blah, 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 blah.
This day in history, we're about to get crab fries.
Eyewitness weather, 90 today and sunny, pretty much the same for the weekend. And if you have the munchies for blueberry during the summer, you want the freshest, most flavorful blueberries when you have the munchies. You want berries grown in the Garden State. Jersey Fresh blueberries available right now in your favorite supermarket or farmer's market. Demand local Jersey Fresh blueberries. Dawn with the news, always on the radio.com app.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
We got Pete Cherokee in here, my buddy from Chickies and Pete's. What's up, man? You guys got to sit in here. You got to get on the mic. All right, come in. Say hello. Dawn, would you like to come in and get some crab? I know you're on a diet. I don't want to tempt you.
Yeah, I can't.
I don't want to tempt you. That would be.
If I smell it, see, I'm in a separate studio.
Yeah.
Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dawn.
How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I don't know how Pete stays so fit and thin when you're around this delicious food. See, I can't smell. If you smell them, you got to eat them. Like the whole
don't
thing.
Open your door.
Oh,
so
man.
I'm going to keep my door shut.
Pete, I got to tell you something. Now, this is the truth. First of all, I am a crab aficionado.
Okay.
And I have traveled the Chesapeake Bay throughout my life from shore to shore, eastern shore, western shore, Maryland, Virginia.
Okay.
These crab fries are the greatest crab fries you're ever going to find. Some other places try to imitate. You can't imitate these fries.
No.
They're the greatest.
I mean, people think it's easy. Like, oh, let me just put Old Bay on some fry. Listen, if it was that easy, they would have them everywhere.
Everywhere would do it, right?
Yeah.
Now, these are an American original. So how you doing, buddy? It's good to see you.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me in.
Absolutely. You're doing something very important tomorrow to help the FOP, the Philadelphia Police, Lodge 5.
Yes, yes. Well, actually, tomorrow is National French Fry Day.
Good.
So we adopted that day every year for the last 5 years and make it National Crab Fry Day.
Great.
So what we do at all our locations, except for like the boardwalk and at the shore, we have $1 crab fries. $1. Same order, same size order, and $5 pitchers of Miller Lite.
Nice.
So all the proceeds from all the crab fries and all the pitchers of Miller Lite go right to the FOP Survivors Fund, which we hold very dear to our hearts. And we think it's a great way to raise money for them. Last year, we raised over $30,000 in one day.
One day.
$1 crab fries.
Wow. It's fantastic. And the FOP Survivors Fund, of course, what it does is it helps the families of law enforcement who've been hurt or killed in the line of duty.
That's correct.
And they do so much for the kids, for the wives, the husbands, and they're just there. They're always there for the family. They're always there for them every step of the way. They never stop. Walter's in here trying to take a picture of my crab fries. Just don't eat them. Just don't take them from me, Walter.
Walter's got his own.
It's all right. I love these fries. So that's great that you do that. And always packed, people. It's a great excuse tomorrow to come out, eat, and drink. Because you're doing something good.
We've done it. But the first year we did it was on a Monday. And this is our first year that's going to be a Saturday.
Wow.
So
I'm eating them on
I can't even imagine. We actually set up tents outside of our places just for people to pick up orders. Because you can get them to go also.
Oh, good.
So at every standalone Chickie and Peach, you know, you can't, obviously you can't go to the Phillies game and get it for a dollar, but everywhere else you got Chickie and Peach, you walk in, crab fries for a dollar, and the pitchers of Miller Lite. Don't forget, all the money goes to the FOP fund. Please come out and support them.
Now, the Marlton location.
Yeah.
Which you still can't get into this place.
We love that place.
It's unbelievable. Every time I go by there, there's the parking lot packed. I wish I knew somebody, I'd get in. I'm telling you right now, the hottest restaurant in South Jersey by far.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I think it's a great area. It's a giant area that's a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like everybody knows each other. I didn't realize, coming from Philadelphia all my life, didn't realize that on that side of the bridge that there was a giant, tight neighborhood. It's really great, and the people are wonderful and very supportive of Chickie and Pete's.
Yeah, and you know, we did a Zeoli Army t-shirt drop in Marlton, and they were gone in minutes.
It's amazing.
Minutes. Yeah.
They come out of the woodwork. There's so many people over there. And like I said, great people, great people.
So there'll be the dollar fries there tomorrow as well?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh,
beautiful.
Yeah. You could go to Bordentown. You go to any one of our Philadelphia locations. All the places except for the ones I mentioned have dollar fries.
Your business, I mean, your Chickie's and Pete's has exploded. Right? I mean, how many locations do you have now?
Like 17 standalones. And
wow.
I don't even want to say how many in amusement parks and baseball stadiums.
Amusement parks,
and,
airports.
Arenas around. Because it sounds, it's like, it's embarrassing to say.
But it's great, though. For people that don't know, tell us where the original was and tell us
the original
story.
The original is Robbins in Frankfort.
Right. I see it every day on my way home to the Tacony Bridge.
Yeah, in Mayfair section. The second one was actually in Veterans Stadium. And then the third one was on the boulevard, and then, you know, then they all just came after that.
The first one, the original, when you walk in, it's a little different, obviously, from the others.
That's a corner bar.
Right. That's how it started, a corner bar.
Corner bar, one floor, and then we expanded to the second floor. Then we bought the house next door and expanded it there. And when we ran out of room, we went to the Roosevelt Boulevard.
That's great. And then Veterans Stadium, that must have been a cool experience being in there.
You know, I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to go. Like, they invited me to come there, and I was like, oh, I'm not going there. There's rats running around in there. That's such a bad reputation. I have a little corner bar. I have a good reputation. Right. They said, well, I think it'll be something different. And they put me in left field. I'm like, left field? I think they make jokes about left field. I don't want to be out in left field. And they put me there, and the place exploded. Hmm. There would be nobody in the stadium, 8,000 people in the stadium, and 4,000 would be in line for Kraft Fries. And it just took off. And whoever, my wife, fortunately, she worked for the Eagles at the time.
Yeah.
And so she had made them familiar with Chickie and Pete's. And thanks to Lisa, we got to get in there. And I owe it to her, the whole stadium stuff. She did
Beautiful.
A great job with it.
And then, of course, when you got to see musical acts, like the last time Pearl Jam played the Vet,
yes.
People would get crab fries. Yep. Because a lot of people, like Greg, were high. So they knew these crab fries were huge, huge help.
Just so you know, I'm a Rolling Stones fanatic.
Yeah.
So I can remember the Stones playing the Vet, and me and all my staff, my whole staff is with me. Because once a concert goes on, it dries up. Nobody buys anything, of course.
Right.
And we're all there. We took a case of beer out of the stand and brought it out into the brought it out into the seats. And it was a full moon. A full moon, crab fries in my hand, and a beer. I said, And Mick Jagger. I'll never forget that.
You got some satisfaction.
Amazing.
I did get some satisfaction. Come on, Dawn.
See that?
Yeah.
She's quick. Yeah. She's quick. Well, so did Jagger like the crab fries?
I wouldn't get them to him, but
he
but doesn't look like he eats too much.
I'll tell you what, you know, Keith Richards would love crab fries. You know, that guy would chow down on
If you could
him.
Light him up, he would he'd smoke them.
Without a doubt. Pete's here from Chickies and Pete's. Tomorrow's a big day for the FOP. Dollar crab fries, $5 pitchers of Miller Lite. All proceeds of those items go to FOP Survivors Fund, Lodge 5 Survivors Fund, our friends. You're helping the police. You're helping their families. You're helping the kids. I always want to ask you this. You've done so much for the community. You were at the USO, our USO telethon. You and I were on the stage together. So generous there.
That was great.
Huge, very generous guy. You start this corner bar, you expand it. You take this major risk. Did you ever think that this was going to fail? Did you ever think, man, what am I doing here?
Every day.
Yeah?
I was going to fail. Every day. Look, after I opened my second place, I was about 3 days into it. I came home and said to my wife, I don't know why I did this. I have no idea what I'm doing. I had no idea what I'm doing. None. I was never in the restaurant business before Chickie and Pete's. My parents weren't in the restaurant business. We bought this corner bar and all of a sudden made a restaurant out of it. And I had no idea what I was doing. So it just was day after day of having no idea. I mean, computers and microsystems and orders in the kitchen. I was used to writing it on a tab. I never even numbered the tables. I would say Blue Jersey.
Yeah.
And the food never went to the guy with the orange shirt, but it was just like, who knew? I had no idea. It's luck. It's the way the line, you know, the stars get lined up. I'm very fortunate. Every day I look in the mirror and say, I'm so fortunate.
Well, the old saying, my friend, is the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Well,
right?
I think there's a luck there too. There is luck.
Pete Cherokee, you're a great guy. You're a great friend. You're a great friend of the cops and the city and everybody. And so please tomorrow, go to Chickie's and Pete's. Do it. Get some crab fries. Yes. Get some beer. Always great to see you, buddy. Thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you
for having us in. I hope to get us in sooner.
They got to get you out of here, apparently, but you have an open invitation. You come in anytime, all right?
I appreciate it.
All right, fantastic.
Dawn, take care.
Good to see you, Pete.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
855-839-1210. The big, big story of the day today continues to be the weather and immigration raids. The weather and immigration raids, of course, that is the big story of the day. And I call it like I see it in life. It's what I do. I am not one of those talk show hosts that feels like my job is to either speak about Donald Trump entirely or defend him on everything or any of those things. Not my job. Not my job. I have other jobs with Donald Trump. I've had, rumor has, some people have suggested that in their books.
$1 million.
Right. Okay. So someone wrote it. Anyway, point is this. I call it like I see it. And he deserves a lot of credit for adhering to the Supreme Court's ruling, even though the ruling was dead wrong. But he did it. He adhered to it. And that's why the citizenship question is not going on the census. All right? Bottom line. Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask you something?
You sure can.
Have you looked at, they released a media press kit. They released what the questions are.
Yeah.
Like, do you see some of the questions? They ask about your fertility.
Mm-hmm.
They ask you if you have a renter in the house. They ask for your phone number. They ask a lot of really personal questions.
Yeah.
And I thought you're not supposed to ask people their gender.
No, well,
they ask you your gender.
No, you can say any gender you want.
Can you put
want.
Both?
Can you not eat on the air? God is asking you a serious question.
You got hot crab fries on.
I know. And Pete brought a vat of them. They're out in the hallway. It smells
what
like,
are you gonna do?
Oh my gosh.
I'm not supposed to eat these. They're right in front of me.
No, I'm just saying. It's
He's what? Not even listening to me talk
I
about
am listening to you.
He's like rubbing his rib with one hand and eating crab fries from Chickies and Pete's.
And I thought we were getting tequila. I don't know what's going on here.
We are.
Show's falling apart.
I mean, we have it in the other room. I just didn't know when to bring it.
We got
to
probably make that too. Right. Well, this is why, actually, they also count toilet bowls, as the president mentioned. And he said that yesterday at the White House, which is hysterical. But they do. They count the number of toilets in your house. Let us play cut two.
Can you believe... Are you a citizen of the United States of America? Sir, you can't ask that question. Why? Because the court said you can't. We have three very unfriendly courts. They fight us all the way. The judges don't like us too much, I guess. But think of that, Herman. Think of that question. Are you a citizen? We spend, this is another thing that's so crazy, $20 billion on a census. $20 billion. They spend $20 billion. I said, $20 billion what? $20 billion on a census. They go through houses. They go up. They ring doorbells. They talk to people. How many toilets do they have? How many desks do they have? How many beds? What's their roof made of? The only thing we can't ask is, are you a citizen of the United States? No, is this the craziest thing?
They should ask if the toilets are citizens.
Right? Well, if the roof is by Keith Emmons.
We could do that.
Put that on the census. I mean, what the heck?
Put everything on there except that. Just that one question you can't.
It's ridiculous.
But
they
it's
should
really
also
personal.
Check. What's that?
Like, all the stuff is like really, really personal.
Yeah. I haven't read it. You've seen
yes.
the form? They actually ask about your fertility?
Yes.
That's crazy. Why? What do they want to know that for?
Well, they want to, they say that they're... Who knows why they really
Oh, I know.
It.
Here, let me give you what the View will say. He's obviously going to sterilize people. They're asking so they can sterilize people who aren't white. That's what he's doing. That's why he's asking.
No, and they say, have you had a baby?
Because they're going to put him in baby jail.
Baby
they want to know where all the brown babies to put him in baby jail.
But
go
they
ahead.
Don't,
What's another
I
question?
Don't see that they ask, have you adopted? Or what if you had a surrogate? They shouldn't say, have you given birth? You know what I mean? They get. I think that I have a problem with the wording. Actually,
well, I don't think you have to answer every question if you don't want
to. Well,
what
happens if you don't want to answer? Like,
well,
you
have to fill out the census.
You do.
That's a federal law, but you don't have to answer. I think some of those more personal questions. I think those are for other reasons.
Oh.
Basically, they just have to do the count. But I think they also, for fun stuff, try to go. Hey, and the U.S. has this many toilets. Woohoo! But I don't think that's. I don't think you'll get in trouble if you don't. Check.
What if you check both, like for gender? And they don't put gender, they put sex.
You put yes, please. Right? That's what you do. And the president, of course, now is getting a lot of grief over this decision, but I think he's making the right decision. Let us hear, shall we, the president, what he's going to do exactly in lieu of putting the citizenship question on the census, because this is, you all right? You keep jumping the gun here,
no,
man. I'm
stuck.
Trying to set this up.
It's stuck.
Oh,
see?
Geez,
it's a big problem.
Premature.
No.
What the president has said is that instead of putting the citizenship question on the census, which would be in violation of the Supreme Court, and that's how they would spin it, he's ordering his agencies to do this.
We are pursuing a new option to ensure a complete and timely count of the non-citizen population. Today, I will be issuing an executive order to put this very plan into effect immediately. I am hereby ordering every department and agency in the federal government to provide the Department of Commerce with all requested records regarding the number of citizens and non-citizens in our country. They must furnish all legally accessible records in their possession immediately. We will utilize these vast federal databases to gain a full, complete and accurate count of the non-citizen population, including databases maintained by the Department of Homeland Security and the Social Security Administration. We have great knowledge in many of our agencies. We will leave no stone unturned.
Now, over at National Review, which is a conservative-leaning website that's sometimes, I'd say, friendly to the president, other times not so much, there's a great piece today where they say, we have averted a constitutional crisis of the president not listening to the Supreme Court. And so they're giving him the credit he deserves, which is the credit I've been giving him all morning, which is to say, hey, you did the right thing here. You followed, and so we don't have to worry now about a constitutional crisis because you did what you're supposed to do, which is to enforce the law and to follow the dictates of the courts, even if you disagree with the courts. You got to do it. It's the way it has to be. You have to, because this is how our system works. But as we predicted, of course, that's not how Democrats and the media, which is the same thing, have been reporting on it all morning. And Monday we'll have a little compilation of all the morning shows and how they referenced it. But we do have, of course, the headline in the Inquirer, Trump backs down. And then we have the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos today with his big moment.
We also saw a major retreat yesterday from President Trump on his bid to get a citizenship question added to the census. He's giving up on that.
George, after vowing for weeks to fight for this in court, the president has now backed down, saying there will not be a question on citizenship in the 2020 census. Instead, the president says he will use existing government data to try and estimate citizenship. Opponents of this question are ecstatic. They had argued that if this question was included, well, then millions of people, mostly minorities, would not have filled out the census, and that would have had very real consequences.
Well, there you go. 855-839-1210. Surrender! He's surrendering, or he's adhering to the courts. Yesterday, dictator. Today, coward. You're backing down, you little baby. John is in Lancaster County. John, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Rich. Good morning to your whole morning team there.
Thank you.
I finally get to talk to the best radio program on the air today.
There you go, sir.
Awesome. You guys are awesome. But I had a couple things I wanted to get off my chest, okay? And this is my first time.
Okay.
Well, I want to know, will somebody let these idiot leftists know that the President Trump is talking about legally removing approximately 2,000 illegal criminals, I guess you'd say, and where during Obama's tenure, he removed well over 3 million illegals, and his nickname became the Deporter-in-Chief. Is anybody aware of that, or do they mention this on any of the CNN or MSNBC or any of those stations?
No. The only time they mention that is if, and some, by the way, some do, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others. But no, the media will never, ever point out Barack Obama's immigration policies in any way, shape, or form. They won't talk about the raids that happened under Obama. They won't talk about any of those things. Some of the real lefty lefties will, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's about it. Well, there was another point I wanted to bring up, Rich, and I don't know if I've ever heard anyone bring this point up. It seems that the people that cry the loudest over the poor illegals are the rich and influential politicians, actors, entertainers, and they're super rich and they have super giant mansions. Why don't they put their money where their mouth is and bring these people in? I'm sure they have plenty of extra rooms to house them, to feed them, to take care of them. They have the wherewithal with all the money.
You mean, for example, like Babs?
That would be one. You know, you have, 20 extra rooms in your house? Imagine how many people she could house and feed and take care of.
I'd like to see Barbara Streisand take some people in, and she could make them pancakes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but pancakes, but, you know, again, they're the ones that cry the loudest. So put your money.
Let me ask you this question too.
Do something about it. If you're that passionate about it, do something about it.
Let me ask you this question. Hang on. John.
Yes.
If the president and the executive branch of government doesn't follow court ordered deportations, right? The judges give deportation orders, and the executive branch doesn't follow that. Isn't that the executive branch not following the courts? Right?
Yeah.
What am I missing here? If the big fear was the president was going to ignore the will of the judiciary and do it anyway, and that was going to make him a dictator, now the executive branch listens to the courts and does the enforcement actions that the judges have ordered, but But that makes him a dictator. You see the contradiction there that I can't get my head around?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Well, I think the bottom line is, Rich, that anything derogatory towards this president, and it's been this way since he was elected, anything.
All right, I got to run. You made your point. Come on. Are we done? Are we done here?
Yeah, we're done.
I got hot crab fries to eat.
Awesome show.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Enough. Thank you, John. What? What?
You have to rush the caller along because you have to eat fries.
Well, you won't let me talk on the air with food in my mouth now that you've become a corporate shill. So what am I going to do?
I just had to eat pancakes, you know. And
pancakes.
I just had to eat pancakes, you know. And
what else to do? Pancakes. She's so dramatic, Barbara Streisand, that she can't even say the word pancakes without sounding like an utter drama king queen. Pancakes.
I just had to eat pancakes, you know.
The census will show how many pancakes she's eaten. Yeah,
that should be a question.
They're going to count that.
Yes.
Ted is in Swarthmore. Ted, good morning.
Hey, Rich. Good talking to you again, buddy. I love your show.
Thank you, pal.
I just wanted to, you had your one little segment there about the vampiric one, and somebody had a sneeze.
Yeah, hang on. We'll replay the sneeze. Hang on. Go ahead. Yeah.
Can somebody get that guy a breathalyzer?
Yeah, he might be. You're right. Ted, thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Right, well done.
When you announced this before, I called. God bless you.
Yeah, I invoked his name. Now the battle will begin. You know, that's what happens. Oh, damn it. I said his name. Oh, come on. Let's do this once and for all. Me and you.
Oh, my God.
It's a sin, Dawn.
It's a sin. She's a nice Catholic grandmother.
I told my staff, never let people sneeze. God's name's invoked, it means war. That's why she's so worried about the churches. They were going to do it. This is a true story, that Democrats were going to do a tour of churches, a sanctuary tour, to see how many illegal immigrants were harboring in there. But she said, I can't go near that place. I can't go. I walk in, the battle begins. I can't go near it. So that's the one place she can't go. She's not a racist, though, according to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That's very good. AOC has set the record straight that Pelosi is not a racist. While speaking with CNN senior congressional correspondent Manu Raju.
It's singling out four individuals. Knowing the media environment that we're operating in, knowing the amount of death threats that we get, knowing the amount of concentration of attention, I think it's just worth asking why.
Do you think she has racial animus? Is she racist?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I will drink the blood of all races. Blacks, whites, browns, black, yellow. I've been all over the earth. I've seen all kinds of colors that aren't even around anymore. No, she's not a racist, Dawn.
No, absolutely
not.
A beautiful African princess, virgin, that neck.
Do you think she has racial animus? Is she racist?
No, absolutely not.
Love it. I prefer minority blood.
Stop.
855-839-1210 is the number, of course, for you.
Sorry.
Friday shows just get a little bit out of control, you know? Friday shows when I'm in pain and crab fries are in studio and...
I know, I do feel...
Dawn is researching the census, trying to find...
I am.
She's on a mission over there.
I don't know what is happening.
You know, you have time, right, to do that. The census question, it won't be this weekend.
I know.
You have some time.
The citizenship question has been asked since 1820.
Yes. It was okay. Barack Obama's administration that got rid of the question.
So, 1820.
Right.
I didn't hear that reported. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, thank you for reporting it. Sorry. It's very important to report. Did they ask about toilets in 1820 as well, Dawn? That's my question for you.
Or outhouses.
Oh, outhouses. Then, yeah. Okay. Very good. Yes, thank you for doing this extensive research on the on the census.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.